The scripture reading this morning comes from first It's chapter 3, verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you.
Dr. Brewster M. Higley had moved from Indiana to Kansas, and he wrote the words to Home on the Range. You probably remember the words. Well, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. But think about the next phrase of that song. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And the skies are not cloudy all day. I'm sure in 1876, Custer didn't hear those words when all those Indians come around. I set that alongside with what we hear about politics and religion in the United States today and see if we hear a discouraging word. There are some that are so negative that they only see problems. It seems like everywhere that we turn today, all we hear are discouraging words. I love what Paul says to the brethren in Ephesus in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. He said, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Now, we could take these words literally to mean every rotten word or words full of decay. But instead, Paul uses the words build up or provide what is needed. Paul does that when he writes his letters to the churches and to individuals. He provides oftentimes what is needed. And while we read his letters and we see that some of his words we could take as being harsh, they are for the benefit of those who need to hear them. But Paul is not lashing out in anger. He generally looks at the church that belongs to Christ. And if you read all of his letters, you see that in all of them, he finds good to say about every one of them. When trouble took place in Philippi between two ladies, in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And just a few verses down from there in verse 8, he writes, "Whatever is true, noble and right and pure, lovely and admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things." Do we think about those kind of things? You know, maybe if we centered a little more on what is right with the church, or what is right with our brothers and sisters, what is right with society or spouse or whatever, things might actually become just a little more right. You know, it's easy to talk about what is wrong with a church or with people. But Paul writes with great joy because he got a report here from Timothy about what was right with the church there in Thessalonica. In this small section that Charles read to us, Paul said that Timothy had come to them and that he had brought good news about their faith. And in verse 7, Paul says, "For this reason, brothers, we have been comforted about you through your faith." And then in verse 10, he writes, "As we pray most earnestly night and day, that way we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." When we see things that are right, do we get excited about them? As Paul did with the words that Timothy brought to him. You know, Paul didn't need to see something that made him happy. Just hearing it caused excitement to him. This good news about a faith of a church that Paul helped establish. A church where he wants to go back and to see and to fellowship. You know, there are times that we worry. We pray for our children. And the one thing that some of us pray for most is their spiritual journey. We want them to grow in the faith. We want them to claim their own faith, not just because it is our faith. In other words, we don't ask them to do it just to please us. We want them to be able to face the temptations of this world and the persecution that can come from a secular society with a faith that holds them close to Christ and His church. You know, years ago when Vince and then Katie headed off to college, our oldest and our youngest were leaving home. And we knew that they were going to a good school with Christian teachers. But I think deep down we were concerned about faith. Here they were going away from home for the first time. They now had to decide for themselves how often they wanted to be with their church family and how involved they would be in that assembly's fellowship. We were confident that the teachers would be great. But spiritual growth would now have to come by their decisions to grow. And they both made us proud. Our children have not faced what the church in Thessalonica faced. But as parents, we wanted them to stay strong and pure and to grow. Far too often, too many children walk away from the Lord when they leave home. And like Paul, many of us have great joy in seeing people that we love staying strong when they could have easily failed. If we could look back at verse 10 for just a moment, we need to understand that these Christians were young Christians. They haven't been Christians 20, 30, 40 years. We're just talking just a few years. They could easily go down that wrong path. And Paul's desire was for him to get there, to be able to give them further instructions, instructions that they needed. Paul knew that they needed more growth. And so do I. That is why our Bible classes, that is why our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and Wednesday night classes are so important to me. I don't think many of you realize how much I grow personally through you by what you share in our classes. We all grow together. Together. You know, Paul was not only excited to hear about their faith, but also about how much love that this church had. to look at verse 6 again, but now that Timothy has come to us and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Faith needs to be nurtured in love. Faith without works is dead, but faith without love is like a clanging cymbal. You know, if you look in the Webster Dictionary, you'll see the word love, and the first time you see the word love, it actually has it a couple of times in there. It has it a noun. The love we're talking about here is a verb. It is action. You don't tell somebody that you love them by hitting them. You show them your love by your concern for one another. Love is seen in action. It is seen when you step beyond what is necessary to do what is right and what is the best for someone else. Love is the testimony to the world that Jesus is the Son of God and that we are His disciples. Jesus in John 13 and verse 35, He said, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know, there was an account of a specific church. And before their Bible class, they would list those that need prayers. And many churches do this. And on this one particular day, there was a preacher that was visiting this church. And he was sitting next to this man. And the preacher, he listened to this prayer list and he thought within himself, it is so important to have others support you. And while he was thinking about this, another man had leaned over to him and he says, "Do you see that brother sitting over there? That man gave me his kidney." These men weren't related to one another. There was no other connection between the two other than they were brothers in Christ. Yes, they were members of the same church. That is the type of love that should be seen in Christians, what we sacrifice for one another. Seeing the good instead of always looking at and harping on what is wrong. You know, it is so easy to point out the faults. It is so easy to sit there and say, this isn't working or that's not right. And it's hard to be able to say things when you are looking at the world or at people through these eyes. It's easier to say the wrong and point to the wrong than it is to look past that and point to the right. Home, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. That utopia may never exist, not on this earth. But the church that is growing in faith and love can exist within each and every one of us. You know, we sang this little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Do we let it shine? When we see the good within this congregation or within other congregations, when we see the good in the church that was established by Christ and given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that light of ours shines all around the neighborhood. Yes, the primary reason that Paul was excited was a church who was doing the right things, even when some things go wrong. And I can imagine the encouragement that those brethren have when they receive that letter and they listen to those words of Paul and the effect that it had on them, where it built them up. And when we get letters of thanks that we have been able to help someone else, it builds us all up, doesn't it? Can you imagine what it would not only do within the church, but can it have the same effect on our friends and our family, our co-workers and our fellow students? Allowing ourselves to be able to see the good instead of the bad can be contagious. If you want to remain negative, you can. If you want to constantly look on the bad in things, you can. But you will never, ever, ever be happy. Never. God saw the good in mankind. God himself desires that all men repent and come to him. You know, in our Sunday morning classes, we're studying right now Genesis, the account of Noah. And God saw the good in one man and his family and saved that family. He built an ark that represents to us a Christ. One that was allowed, that he had beckoned them to come to him, and they did. And this morning we discussed about them sending out the raven and the dove. And the dove returned to that ark, that shelter, when it did not find a place to put his feet. We have an ark in Jesus Christ, a place of refuge. And we can come to him and rest. But if you're not a child of God, where do you go to rest? Where do you go to find comfort? When the door of that ark was shut up, millions of people were standing outside. Their chance of repentance was gone. It was too late. When that trumpet sounds, where will you be? If you're not a child of God, you'll be out on the outside. There'll be no further chance of repentance and coming to know the Lord to save your soul. Unlike some religions who devised methods of comforting others by saying that ones can be baptized for another individual who's already died, it's too late. It's too late. The gospel will not be preached in hell later on. No soul will be saved. Eternity is eternity. If you're not a child of God, where will you be on that last great day? Maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you have been looking at things in the wrong light. Maybe the negatives have overcome your life to where that's all you see. It's hard to call ourselves a Christian and have joy in our hearts when we look at things so negatively. And if you are a child of God and you need to repent of those things, make a new lease on life. We want to give you that opportunity also. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.